like a son, and I'm here to say I'm about to do the scon in a major way. You jump to the right and you shake a hand, and you jump to the left and you shake that hand. You meet new friends, you tie some yarn, and that's how you do the scon.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. We've got an unreal episode for you guys today. We got former Giants running back, Dancing with the Stars champion, and current author Rashad Jennings on the show. Truly amazing interview. Before we bring him on, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, soon to be SoundCloud, officially on Spotify. No reason for you not to be subscribed. No reason for you not to rate 5 stars. So go ahead and do that if you haven't already. Next, go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Before we bring Rashad on, I got to talk about something very, very important. Gotham Sports Network officially has a Patreon page. So go on, find Gotham Sports Network. I'm sure you can find the link on my Twitter as well. You can find it on a bunch of the other writers' pages as well. There are 3 current tiers. The $1 tier will give you 1 entry into a merchandise sweepstakes every time we hit our goal. The $5 tier will get you 2 entries into a contest every time we hit our goal, as well as exclusive access to Gotham Sports Network content. That's shoutouts, that's Q&As, that's mailbags. And the $10 tier, let me tell you what you get with the $10 tier. You get 3 entries into the giveaways every time we hit a goal, and exclusive access to an extra episode of NYG Weekly every month. So you guys are about to listen to us interview Rashad Jennings. In the future, we might have these interviews as Patreon-only content. That's to be determined. We may have a media member on. It may be a countdown episode where we count down our top 10 Eli Manning moments. But if you guys listen to the podcast every week, please, please, please show some love. Go onto the Patreon page, even if you're just giving a dollar. We appreciate you. And, you know, Weiss and I, we do this every week. We do it because we love you guys. Show us a little bit of love back. Hit up that Patreon page, and I promise it'll be worth it. The content's going to be great. Without further ado, let's get into the Rashad Jennings interview.
Jennings, good second effort, picks up a first down and more. Down the sidelines, Rashad Jennings still on his feet, and he takes it all the way in for a Giants touchdown. 51 yards.
Now that we're done with the housekeeping, we'll bring in our very special guest. He's a former NFL and New York Giants running back, Dancing with the Stars champion, and new author. His book is called The If in Life, How to Get Off Life's Sidelines and Become Your Best Self, which came out yesterday, May 8th. We got Rashad Jennings. Rashad, welcome. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Appreciate y'all having me on.
Of course. Let's before we get into all the football, I think we know the answer to this. How is retirement treating you?
Retirement is treating me excellent. I've been enjoying every single second of it. I don't feel like I've actually retired from anything. I think I'm more busy now. So the word retirement is not a real thing in my life.
I love it. Football. I love it. Keeping busy.
Absolutely.
Hey, Rashad, this is Weiss, man. Just want to thank you for coming on again. Let's stick to football for a little bit. So you played for 3 teams during your career, the Raiders, the Jaguars, and now, of course, the Giants. Give us one of your favorite memories of playing with the Giants. I mean, what was something that you'll never forget?
Playing with the Giants?
Yes.
That could be a couple. My favorite memory, heartfelt, is the game that my dad actually got a chance to come on the field and watch me play. I've talked numerous times about the relationship with me and my dad, so that was just something very memorable that stood out. But as far as the game is concerned, me playing it, my all-time high rushing yardage in a game came at a home game against the Texans. And while rushing 180 yards and a touchdown, that's just a highlight. You know, Coach Kaufman, at the end of the game, he called time out just to take me out of the game so the crowd can cheer me off the field because we had won. So that was just, you know, kind of an honor that doesn't happen all of the time. So that's just a major highlight for me.
That's awesome. Coach Coughlin, always a classy dude. Let's talk about another Giants staple. And a lot of fans of other teams don't know this, but Eli Manning, a notorious prankster. Did Eli ever pull a fast one on you?
You know what? No. Eli and I usually tag team with each other. It's funny because we locker beside each other. And so every single day we would sit in our locker room and just kind of glance the whole area and figure out who we were going to mess with. Now, we never pranked each other. We gave each other a hard time, some really funny inside jokes. It's still one joke that's going on he don't know about. I look forward to the day he figures it out. But we always tag team.
I love it. So this sort of transitioned into my next question. I guess, what's the best prank that you two pulled together?
Best prank that we pulled together? That's a good one. It's a couple. I would say the funnest one is simply the pranks you pull on rookies and having them show up on the football field at certain times of the day. Because we knew we knew the sprinklers was going to cut on at 2 p.m. So we would tell the rookies, hey, make sure y'all are out there at 2:55. We're going to have a meeting at 3 o'clock. And so we'll have them all outside waiting, and we'll tell them to dress up real nice, and it don't end good for them.
That was awesome.
it's a classic one.
So obviously, you know, the running back position as a whole, I mean, I know you have a lot of insight on it as well, playing in the league for 7 years, but let me get your take on the position, because a lot of people, you know, will say, well, the value of a running back has decreased over time, and whether it's smart to use a top five pick on a back. So let me get your thoughts on the position as a whole. Do you think that, you know, the value of it has changed over the course of the last, you know, 10 years?
No, not at all. I mean, it's been, the value has never changed. The focus of it has changed along the way, but it's proven in and out year by year. I can't think of a Super Bowl. Go look at every Super Bowl winning team. The last several years, they've always had one or two good running backs in the backfield, and they've always played significant amount of time and carried a load in the playoffs, whether it was catching out of the backfield or running the ball. So you can't devalue it. You can just try not to focus on it. But I personally believe picking a backup early, if he's worthy of it, absolutely yes. Now, you know, anybody that's not worth their salt is not worthy enough to get picked up in the first with the top 10. But this kid is, and I think you can look at the other top 10 or top five running backs that's ever been drafted before. Like, you know, you got Barkley, you got who else has been picked up along the way. Last year was
Leonard Fournette.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Fournette, Zeke. You've had Adrian Peterson. I mean, all these guys have been, like, instant impacts to their team. So it'd be silly to think that position is devalued at all.
So I guess I'll ask you this, because I always say, like, the best person to get advice from on a topic or on another player is someone that's played that position. So I'm going to value your opinion a lot. Is Saquon Barkley the real deal? Would you have picked him with the second overall pick, or would you have gone in a different direction and maybe look to the future and invested in a quarterback? So your GM hat on for a second for me and tell me what you would have done.
If I'm the Giants or just in general? With any
if you're the Giants.
If I'm the Giants, I would have done the same thing. I am looking at my future, and I'm gonna need somebody that could tote the rock. I know I'm capable. I know I have a capable quarterback at the position to carry the team. He understands his offense inside and out. I want to get a fresh start I want to focus in on running the ball a particular way. And I know the favoritism of my quarterback, so I'm gonna put him in a position to shine. Some people may feel like the system, you know, wasn't fit for him. Some people feel like Eli's declining. I've been in the locker room with him. I've seen him at his highs, and he still got some more years in the tank. So for me to draft a quarterback high, and what am I gonna do then? Set Eli, or am I gonna let a bunch of somebody with at least minimum $15-20 million is gonna be sitting on the sideline the whole year? And it makes no sense. I want my money to go to work if I'm a GM. And I personally didn't think that there was a quarterback worthy enough to attempt to set Eli down when you have a guy like Barkley that's sitting there waiting and can carry a load of a team. Plus, he's the kind of guy I think comes around very so often. And so I think they made it a great pick in picking a running back, not just a running back, but picking him.
There we go. Someone who believes in Eli and also believes that Saquon Barkley is a generational talent. Let's talk about your game for a little bit. Did you have any interesting pregame rituals or regimens that may be a little bit out of the ordinary?
I wouldn't say out of the ordinary. I had my warm-up that I would always do before every game. I would do my stretches, listen to music, kind of relax out a little bit, have my prayer, and then go get ready for the game. But never anything that stuck out, like a sore thumb of wearing a hat backwards and doing five jumping jacks with my eyes closed. Like I didn't have any kind of superstitious routine, but I always took a shower before the game. That's something that's maybe different from some players. I always took a shower before every game.
Gosh, what was the reasoning behind that?
I love what I do, and so it was it was a joke that was given to me by one of my uncles a long time ago when I was a kid, and he used to say, "Rashad, you gotta take a shower before you go play the game." Like, yeah, why? I'm about to go out there and stink. And he said, do you love what you do? And I said, yeah. He said, all right, when you get married, you're going to realize you take a shower before you make love. So I always took a shower before I went to go play.
That's awesome.
I love what I did.
I love it. That's awesome. Let's talk about a former teammate of yours real quick, and then we'll get into some Dancing with the Stars questions and some questions about your book. But let's talk about someone who tends to get a bad rap in the media, someone that you played with and that you know, Odell Beckham. Talk about your experience with him as a teammate, and maybe give the fans out there a little bit of insight as to what he's like behind closed doors and in the locker room.
He's an awesome player, man. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's a tremendous person, too. I've got a chance to watch him come in as a rookie that was injured the first four games, kind of trying to find himself in the NFL a little bit. We all knew the kid had talent. I'm talking about so much talent. I watched him run a slant route, and the first slant route he ever ran, I've ever seen in OTAs with just shorts on. He ran it, and he missed. When he missed the ball, I tapped Peyton Hillis, and I said, "Hey, Peyton, I've never seen a kid miss the ball so smooth in my life." Like, even his mistake just looked amazing. And I watched, he came up to me one time after, I think it was after like one of the 4 weeks into OTAs. And he said, "Rashad, will you teach me how to take care of my body?" Because he would see me always go out beforehand and warm up and lift weights a certain way and, you know, eat a certain way, sleep in a chamber, do hyperbaric oxygen chamber and do MAT. And he came up to me and said, "Will you teach me how to take care of my body?" And I watched, you know, him take those lessons to heart. Yeah, I saw him get healthy. I saw him go out, and I watched the overnight celebrity status hit him. You know, I was there throughout it all. So it was kind of a neat experience seeing that all happen, from walking inside of a locker room and you know, he maybe has 700,000 followers. We go out to practice and come back. Now he got 2 million followers. And then the next day, like, I watched everything happen.
Overnight.
In real time. Yeah. And he's nobody wants to talk about how hard he works. They just want to talk about how much of a flash he is. And the camera's too, I always say the camera's too attracted to him. And they only want to highlight what they want to highlight. Yeah, Odell likes to have fun. I think he probably has fun with the camera too. But as the media is concerned, I think they just want to highlight as much as they can to try to say he's a distraction, but he's not. Energy towards the game is what's needed.
You know, Rashad, that you made great points about Odell. I think that's something that Ethan and I have been talking about for so long now. I mean, Ethan has a defense.
The Odell Defense Brigade.
Yeah, it was specifically made for that. But I want to ask you about another former teammate of yours and another former first-round pick of the Giants, and that's Ereck Flowers. He's made some decisions, obviously, dealing with the new regime, staying away. There's been a lot of stuff in the media said about why he's staying away, whether he's angry or about them going out and getting a left tackle or not. What's your thoughts on Ereck Flowers, and what's some advice do you think you would – give him if you were to reach out to him and how to deal with his transition of him playing on the right side?
Well, I'm not exactly sure why he's taking the time away. I mean, he probably could be taking the time away because he wants to train and he needs a specific type of training. And to be very honest with you, any player that gets to the place in his career where he knows he's going to get the best training somewhere else, by all means, do that. Like, I mean, do that. Why wouldn't you? But if you're just utilizing the time to, you know, do nothing, not to perfect your craft, then that's a whole nother topic. And as far as switching positions, you know, I know it could be tough. It could be hard. Maybe he feels strong enough that he could go somewhere else and play that position, or maybe he feels that he doesn't want to play the opposite side, or maybe he's coming back with a new attitude to compete for it. Either way, competition, this is the NFL. And as you would say to anybody, nothing's given, nothing is owed to anyone in this game. You got to go out and earn it and fight for it every single year. So, I think that, I think he's going to come into camp. He's going to work hard. He's going to fight. But I think he ultimately going to do what's best for the team himself.
Makes sense.
Hope so.
Yeah, we all hope so. Let's transition to a little more. Let's do a little more fun. How did you get involved with Dancing with the Stars? And were you a dancer before the show?
Good question. No, I was not a dancer before the show. Never danced a day in my life professionally. Never danced. And ballroom frame, I always tell people, my partner asked me the first time she asked me to get in frame, I thought she wanted to take a picture. So that let you know I had no idea what was going on. Now, I trained for a Lauderdale, Florida, Miami area. And every off season, I pick up a new craft. And this particular off season, I wanted to learn how to dance. So I went to a dance studio. Ballroom, and I tried to sign up for some classes. They said that they didn't have any classes until 2 weeks from that day. So I said, all right, no problem. I left, and then a week later, it was confirmed I was on Dance with the Stars. So yeah, I was like, hey, I get to learn how to dance in front of the world instead of a private studio. So that's how I fell into place. I just really wanted to learn how to dance. I didn't go on the show with ambitions to win. I never even saw the show before being on it, which is probably even better because
definitely better.
I didn't know what I got myself into. Yeah. I just took it day by day. And honestly, I learned the first dance was a cha-cha, and I was happy with that. I was like, man, if I go home, I learn how to do a little cha-cha. I'm cool. And then next week, it was like, all right, I learned a Viennese waltz. That was fun, too. Now I could go home. And then the next week, all right, I learned some song, but now I can go home. Then the next week, it was like, hold up, man. I'm still here. I wonder if we can win this thing. So it was week by week.
So transitioning perfectly into my next question, what was it like winning such a prestigious show? I feel like there are a certain number of shows on TV that hold that same prestige as Dancing with the Stars, maybe The Voice, but some major competitions with a major talent. So what was it like to win?
Winning Dancing with the Stars was rewarding in a big way. It was rewarding for a lot of different reasons. One, to prove, you know, to people that hard work pays off. We didn't realize it, but we put in 362 hours, which was more 100 more hours than anybody else on the show has ever put in.
Wow.
So, and we didn't even realize that, but it goes back to what I tell kids about hard work, you know, pays off, especially, you know, when the opportunity presents itself. It's too late to prepare for opportunity when opportunity presents itself. And it's to attest of the kind of, you know, effort it takes to be successful, and no matter what it is you do. Then the fact of learning how to dance, and I'm a big romantic anyway. So okay. Learning how to dance is just something that was being anticipated for me. but then also too, winning was awesome for my partner because she's never won before as well. And we've become best friends, and it was at a point we wanted to win for each other. And so not just for ourselves. That's what made it special.
A lot of football similarities there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is. It's a lot of similarities from teamwork, dedication, effort, covering each other's mistakes, and, you know, having each other's back, et cetera, and not blaming each other. You know, it would look silly if we just stopped in the middle of a dance and started pointing the finger at each other of who messed up. So it's same thing in football, same thing in life.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What's one dance the shitty dancers like myself can learn?
And me.
And Weiss, so that we don't make a fool out of ourselves on the dance floor.
What's one dance that you could learn?
Yeah.
I think y'all could learn a lot. I think everybody should start off with a salsa.
Salsa. Shout out Victor Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah. Salsa and cha-cha is very simple. I think everybody that wants to jump in can start there. I think a waltz, some frame of waltz, is beneficial to have in your arsenal because a lot of other steps come from it. But it's fun. Have y'all ever done it before?
No, never.
No.
Would y'all ever do it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd probably do it. I mean, I'll tell you this. When Victor Cruz used to score touchdowns for us, I'm not going to lie, there were a couple of times where I did do the salsa, but it was not something I do in public. So in the confines of my own home, seeing somebody, you know, score a touchdown, do a dance, yeah, I might do a quick one too, but never in public, no.
I got you. Nah, you should do it. Take some lessons, man. Go into a ballroom, take some lessons, and then we'll have another interview, and then then I'm gonna ask you how much you've learned, and you're gonna be like, man, Rashad, thank you for pushing me to go do that.
That's it. Absolutely. No. If I go to a dance studio and I learn how to salsa and cha-cha, you know we gotta have a dance off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I'll show you why I got the mirror ball trophy.
So obviously, Rashad, I mean, I want to talk about your book now, The If in Life, How to Get Off Life's Sidelines and Become Your Best Self. By the way, that's an awesome title. They say to never judge a book by its cover, but just reading that title makes me want to go and read the book. Like, it's awesome. Give our audience a quick rundown of what it's about and, you know, what inspired you to write this book. So, you know, tell us what it's about.
It's called The If in Life, as you said, and it's a play on words. When you spell out the word life, if is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the foundation of life. And because it is a small word with one of the most impactful definitions and results of anybody's life, the magical if. I go through 15 chapters of talking about my major if points, my major if turning points. if I didn't respond to racism in the right way, if I didn't have a loving mother and father, you know, if I didn't have a loving brother and brothers in my life, if I didn't have people believe in me before I knew who I was, and I just keep going through chapters of ifs. And I talk about being a little knucklehead kid. It's comical, it's emotional, it's heart jerking, it's inspirational, of going through my whole entire life of being an overweight, chubby kid, glasses, asthma, 0.6 GPA, fifth string running back, saying that he wanted to play in the NFL and how he did it and where all his major if points were. And it's going to challenge every single reader to take a step back and find their own if. Because there's a lot of people that has dreams and they let them die. They truly do. And this book attempts in so many ways to resurrect those dreams. No matter how old you are, no matter what it is you're trying to do, it's an encouragement to you that you can still accomplish it.
There we go. Very inspirational. Now, just before we end up with our last few questions, just as a reminder for those listening, if you do want to get the book and you want to meet Rashad and you want to get it signed, we've got two book signings. We got one today, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey, as well as tomorrow, Thursday, 6:30 p.m. at UMC Fitness and Wellness in Maywood, New Jersey. We'll put both of these addresses in the podcast episode description, so you guys can go ahead and double check that if you want to go meet Rashad and get the book signed. Rashad, what is the biggest if or obstacle you've had to overcome?
Relationship with my father, no doubt. Relationship with my father. When I was 13 years old, I was hospitalized because of asthma. And my dad used to smoke and drink a lot in the house, and the smoking was a part of my asthma. And being hospitalized, I was going through a peak flow and within a centimeter, I was fighting for my next breath, much less what I continue to or even dream to accomplish the things I've done today. When I got out of the hospital, the doctors had told my dad he could no longer smoke in the house. It was affecting his son. I had to get rid of my dog. My mom used to call restaurants to check the ventilation before I go into certain buildings. I was bad off. I got out of the hospital, and as the doctors instructed, my dad was outside. About a week later, he started smoking inside again. Now, at this point, my dad, that's all he did was drink and smoke. We had no relationship. He's never took me outside to play catch. He's never watched me come to any of my outings or games. He's never spent one-on-one time with me. He's never asked questions to me, anything. He just exists at this point. And I smelled smoke through the vents. And I started choking up. And I'm hurt because I know my dad remembered what the doctor said. So I go up, I knock on his door in his room. I open the door, and there he is in the corner drinking and smoking. Apologizes. This alarm. He's sitting in this corner drinking and smoking. And I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, can you stop smoking and drinking and be there for me?" He took a puff of his smoke, sip of his drink, and he looked at me and said, "Rashad, what do you want to do when you get older?" He asked it arrogantly, but I'm excited because it's the first time my dad ever asked that question to me. And so I looked at him, I said, "I want to play running back in the NFL. He took a puff of his smoke, sip of his drink, and he said, "Do you think you'll be able to make it to the NFL without smoking or drinking yourself?" He said it arrogantly. And I looked at him with tears in my eyes and said, "Just to prove wrong, I'm never going to do it." And I'm 33. I've never drank alcohol a day in my life. I never smoked a day in my life. And that literally was just to prove him wrong. And I could have done that a lot of different ways. I could have folded up in pain. I could have blamed him for a lot of my hurt. Or I could have took that as motivation. So that's one big if moment. If I didn't take that as a challenge, I wouldn't be here. And also him watching his little knucklehead kid prove him wrong, he quit smoking and drinking himself.
Amazing.
And because of that, our relationship ended up. And so, again, going back to that little if I never took that as a challenge, not only maybe I wouldn't be in the position I found myself in today, but I wouldn't have a healthy relationship with my dad either.
That was amazing.
Truly amazing.
Wow. In that case, I mean, what advice would you give, you know, someone, a young player, or, you know, someone struggling to get off the sidelines on the field, or, you know, in this case, off the field? And what some advice you think you would give somebody who's struggling in that area?
Everybody's different. You know, I think as well said is, I'm going to consistently treat everybody differently. And you never know what any kid is going through, what any adult is going through at a particular time that caused them to be in a rut. And I think you really have to know somebody on a personal level to talk to them specifically. But in generic speaking, you can, no matter what it is anybody wants to do, if it's worth anything, it's going to be triumph. You know, when you start to do what you are supposed to in life, you know, one or two things is going to happen. You know, it's going to be easy to quit, and it's going to be hard to start. And you got to make a decision at the end of it. And for myself, I encourage kids that whatever dream you have, whatever it is you want to do in life, I promise you that opportunity is going to come to you at least three times. You can look back over your life. I can't find anybody yet that has not looked back at their life and all the things that they said they wanted to do, that those opportunities didn't come by them at least three times. It's just that they usually wasn't ready for it when it came. And so I always tell people, when opportunity presents itself, it's too late to prepare for it. You got to be able to work when it's not there. You got to see it when nobody else can see it. You got to make people believe, and you got to make yourself believe. And what is a difficult thing to do sometimes.
Amazing. Easy to quit, hard to start, and the opportunity will be there at least three times. Rashad, before we get to our contest winner, you've conquered professional football, you've conquered dancing, and now you've conquered writing a book. So what is next for Rashad Jennings?
It's a good question. A lot's next.
Give us a hint.
I really anticipate myself doing a blockbuster movie.
Okay. I love it. Seriously. You know, and just based on this interview alone, might I suggest some motivational speaking?
Yeah, definitely.
Motivational speaking. I appreciate that, man. I'm going to note that.
You should listen. This is an amazing interview. So listen, blockbuster movie, motivational speaking, pretty much it doesn't seem like there's anything you can't do. With that being said, let's give away a free jersey.
Kevin at 12KNGO.
That's it. That's perfect. Congratulations, Kevin. You're the winner. Rashad, you've given us a lot of your time, especially after a busy day, and you know you got a busy rest of the week. So truly, 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 thank you for taking the time to come on, motivate our listeners, give us some background on football, on life, on dancing, and we hope to speak to you soon.
Thanks
man. I appreciate you guys always.
Hey, it was awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. I'll catch y'all later. Getting in them dance classes.
Absolutely. Thank you to Rashad Jennings again for coming on the podcast. Weiss and I appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners are going to appreciate it. Just as a reminder, for those who didn't catch it the first time, and these addresses will be in our podcast episode description, there are two book signings, one today, Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And again, tomorrow, Thursday at 6:30 p.m., he'll be at UMC Fitness and Wellness in Maywood, New Jersey. If you want to meet Rashad, you want to get your book autographed, or just pick up a copy, hit up those two locations. And if you do, tell him that you listened to the episode, you loved it, and that he should come back on in the future. That's it for this week. We'll speak to you guys soon.